This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
The boat must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh! Like what? What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
No, when we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, y'all? This is Apologia Radio. If you're a first-time listener, get us at apologiaradio.com, apologiaradio.com. Also, you can run over to our Facebook page where everyone interacts. You can like the page and check out some of the interaction going on there, the episodes that are recently uploaded, all those things. And want you to think about, pray about, please, joining with this ministry by praying for us and by giving financially to this ministry. You can do that at apologiaradio.com. You go to the donate tab right there on the homepage. You can donate and everything helps. You can bless this ministry and really be a partner with us in being able to get the gospel into the world, all throughout the world. We have listeners all over the planet. I mean, all over. Ireland, Australia, Africa, South America, Canada. I found we had a big crew of people up in Canada. Yeah. And besides, of course, Sai, who's awesome sauce and on the show with us today, but everywhere. And, you know, this show is really going out and reaching a lot of people. And I get emails on a daily basis from people who are having their worldview shook up and they're getting encouraged and getting equipped and getting sort of prepared to bring the good news to the culture. And I want to say, as always, I want to thank you guys so much. When you give us encouragement, you send us emails letting us know what's up with you and how God is using this show to bless your lives and to really just shape the way that you're thinking and it's growing you in your relationship with Jesus and your depth of love for him and intimacy and knowledge of him. I mean, those are encouraging to us, and they mean so much. I just want you to know that. They mean so very much to us. It's just such an encouragement and fire underneath my feet when I see those things. And so I'm just blessed by that. As always, we're in the studio. That's Luke Pearson over there.
That's me.
That's the big bear.
You know, I just was thinking, I've made like 5 or so really good friends in the last year from Canada. It's kind of weird.
Yeah?
I went like 32 years and didn't have any friends from Canada. Now I got several.
Yeah? I like Canada.
I like Canada.
Yeah? I'm supposed to be going there. We're supposed to be going there next year.
Yeah, so you're supposed to be taking
for a conference. I think possibly even with Sai. We'll let you guys know as the details come up for that. And that's Joy Timmy, the girl over there. What's up, girl?
Hello.
How you doing, Joy?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day.
It is. It's nice and
cloudy.
Cool. Speaking of, you know, let's go ahead and bring him in now so we can just, you know, chit-chat a bit. We're going to talk today about the Bill Nye Science Guy versus Ken Ham, the Australian bloke. He likes his logos. I say guy. Okay.
Yeah, got it.
The debate that just occurred, and we're going to kind of dissect it. And to do so, ready? We pulled in our friend, our brother, Cy Ten Bruggenkate. What's up, Cy?
Cy, not the science guy.
Not the science guy.
Our guy, Cy, the creation guy.
He loves science.
Luke and Jeff, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, got to ask you, because we're talking about weather real fast. Everyone's freaking out all over the country. About on the East Coast of the United States, like, oh, it's two inches.
Global warming, right?
It's 2 inches of snow. We're dying. How's the weather in Canada right now,
dude? Except you know you would do that.
Oh, we're getting hammered. That's why you have so many Canadian listeners, because they're inside.
Yeah. That's nice. Is it bad?
Well, it's not bad for us. I mean, this is winter.
Yeah.
In winter in Canada, you get snow.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone in America is crying right now.
I posted a picture on Facebook the other day. I had to fix my eaves trough, and I could never get a ladder because the ground was sloping underneath there. But I built a big pile of snow, and I got to set my ladder on it. So that's one of the advantages of snow.
Nice.
Why didn't you just stand on your moose?
Nice. Luke with the stereotypes. He's good at those.
I'm glad that he's made some Canadian friends, though. That's pretty cool. This should help.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should. It should.
Hey, so I went to Chicago to do a camp for Wheaton Bible this past weekend.
I saw that.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I'm a wuss, and I stayed inside the whole time.
He is.
Yeah, you can't drop kick the weather.
No, I can't. That's right. My kung fu skills.
If you want to see Jeff cry like a little baby and curl up in a ball and suck his thumb, take him to where it's cold.
That's right. No, he's not lying at all. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely. They were like, hey, Jeff, come on so I can go sledding with us. I was like, I'm not going sledding in below zero temperatures.
I went scuba diving with an Australian, and the water was below freezing.
What?
Wow.
And he said never again. Yeah. The thing is, it was a river, so the water was flowing, so it didn't freeze.
Yeah.
But it was a mess. It was minus 20 Celsius outside, and we got out of the water, and our equipment froze to our body instantly. We had to get into the truck, turn the heat on just to take our equipment apart.
No. That's awesome. You're like a Navy SEAL, dude.
It was insane. That's an insult to my friend Chad, though. I'm nowhere near like that.
Oh, yeah. I've heard all about him, man. That's cool. Okay, so let's dive right into it. Let's get right into the discussion of the Bill Nye Science Guy debate versus Ken Ham. So let me offer this first as we enter. Answers in Genesis, one of the things that's encouraged me about Answers in Genesis is that they are full on committed to homeschool. And they have produced a lot of curriculum and science things for homeschool students, things like that. My son, Sage, is doing a course, an online course from Answers in Genesis right now. And guess what, Cy? Guess what one of the textbooks is for the class?
How to Answer the Full Study Guide.
That's what I was going to say.
I wish. No, it's Always Ready by Greg Bonson.
Oh, fantastic.
Isn't that great?
I saw it in their bookstore, actually.
Yeah. So we get the course requirements and everything. They come to us, and, you know, we're reviewing them. And I
should read it.
Yeah, I know. So the book that's there for the List Tech, I'm like, oh, that's Always Ready, because we're thinking what we have to buy for the course. I'm like, Sage, I got numerous copies. It's all good. and so he has to read through that book. And so, okay, I want to say at the outset that I'm encouraged by the fact that if you listen to Ken Ham's lectures, if you listen to what's coming out from their ministry, if you look at their materials, that's what they're doing. They're saying you've got to start with the Word of God. And I think just as a broad thing, I'm going to say that Ken did his best, really, I think, to stay consistent with that within himself. I don't believe that he actually pushed the antithesis or did enough to really expose Bill Nye's borrowed capital through the debate. And that's just an introductory remark by me. So I'll go ahead and leave it to you guys to go ahead and jump in. Now, fill in.
You don't need me. Hey, I want to preface my remarks by saying that one of my favorite pre-sub lectures is by Ken Ham.
Really? Tell me about it.
It's a lecture called Young Earth, It's Not the Issue. And it's not even in their bookstore. When I met Ken, I said, you should put this on a CD and put it in your bookstore. But I put a link to it on my Facebook page if people want to check it out. And the thing is, he talks about Young Earth is not the issue. Biblical authority is not the issue. He did not call it a pre-sub lecture, but it was a quintessential pre-sub lecture. He was talking about the authority of Scripture. And I don't think he went away from that in the debate, but I'm going to echo your comments as to whether he pressed the antithesis with Bill, because I don't think that he really did. I don't think he really had the opportunity, but I'll leave that for later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, I was completely super encouraged that he started the debate right off with the gospel. Like, he just brought it right away. He didn't even wait. He just right at the beginning in the forefront. So I was really encouraged by that. And I agree with Jeff and you, Si. I mean, I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I watched a big chunk of it. And from what I've read and understood, the rebuttal period was only 5 minutes. And it was like he didn't really even have enough adequate time to even really push the antithesis. Yeah, that's my opening remarks.
Joy, got anything to say there, girl?
I think that the sort of formal debate setting mixes things up a little bit, but I did like that he initially jumped in with the whole presupposition thing. But I mean, it doesn't seem like Bill, I only watched up till the end of Bill Nye's 30-minute little thing. And he didn't really address that at all. It doesn't seem like he addressed it at all. If he had maybe been pushed to address his presuppositions a little more, right. Maybe he would have froze a little more.
We're going to get to that. One thing, and just to sort of kind of whet your appetite, give a little teaser, because we are going to go into some discussion on it. I think we want to use this as an opportunity not to simply just kind of like criticize and look, we ought to have done it this way or that way, is to really say, okay, as Christians, like let's be sanctified here, and let's make sure that we're prepared as a result of listening to things like this to move forward with a more Christ-honoring apologetic and a more consistent philosophical approach to this, and also with the ability to challenge the unbeliever where he sits, which is on God's ground. But let me give you a comment that came on our page, all right?
Okay.
This is very well thought out, all right? And so you got to be ready for these.
From me.
Yeah. We've got to be ready for these things. All right, so this came up, let's see here, this came up on our page. I'm going to try to scroll up to the thing here. Okay, so Jerry, I think, posted a picture of Bill Nye versus Ken Ham, creation debate hashtag. So what do you think so far? And so we got just, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of comments here. And this is one of the comments that pops up on the page. All right, this guy's name is Chris. And someone before Chris, Dwayne, says, Ken Ham destroy the pseudoscience guy. That's my unbiased opinion. And so this guy, Chris, underneath Dwayne's comment says, simply wrong. I didn't even see the debate, and I know Ham got wrecked.
What?
I know he got wrecked. I didn't even see it.
I don't even have to see it.
I didn't even watch Dim Internet.
Presuppositions.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, I mean, everyone's going to have comments, commentary, and thoughts. And you know, I want to say this. I want to praise God and bless God's name for Ken Ham and his work. Mm-hmm. Okay? I want
to
say it.
I want to go to the Ark. I'm just saying.
And I'm happy. A Creation Museum. What? And I want to say, I know that Si feels the same way. We're all happy that he proclaimed Christ crucified, his death, burial, resurrection, that there's life found in him, and that Ken Ham did not shy away from the fact that he stands in the Word of God. And so I say I appreciate that more than a guy like William Lane Craig, mm-hmm. who will ultimately not even look like a Christian in the debate, arguing from some general form of theism, and even say go so far as to say with someone in a discussion, I'm not arguing for the God of the Bible right now. I'll take Ken Ham, and I want to say we need to move towards more consistency and the ability to demolish the opposing worldview. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
What's up, y'all? Is he going to say welcome to Canada or something? All right, let's hear him say it. There you go. That's in honor of our brother, Si Ten Brugenkate. So here, right here on Apologia Radio, guys, 1360 KPXQ. Share this episode, all right? Do that. That's another way you can join with us as a ministry, as partners of ministries. You can take these episodes, you can share them with everyone you know. Share them on your Twitter, your Facebook. And can you do things like this on Instagram? I'm not the big Instagram dude yet.
You could. I shared a babies are murdered here thing on Instagram that got a little bit of heat to it.
Can you share?
You would basically just put a picture in the little Instagram slot and then you would link.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, guys, we're going to leap right in. We want to try to make this as helpful and as edifying as possible. So we're just going to try to jump right into the discussion, the debate. I think looking here at the footage before me, it's got about 2 hours and 45 minutes of footage that's on the YouTube. You can go to it. Answers in Genesis channel on YouTube has it in HD form. And I want to say compliments to Answers in Genesis.
Yeah.
I watched it live on my television and internet, you know, Google TV
the
situation. It was awesome. HD, mm-hmm. It was like super high definition. Yeah.
And they got it up like immediately.
I know. Yeah. And so anyway, it's Bill Nye debates Ken Ham HD at Answers in Genesis. You get the whole discussion. Obviously, we have a 2-hour show. We're not going to get through this entire thing, but we want to make it as helpful as possible. And we want to utilize as much of presence and blessing here as we can. So let's go ahead and talk through the first, 5 minutes of Bill Nye's opening statements. He talked for a few minutes about his bow tie, and then moved on.
And we can compare Mr. Ham's story to the story from what I will call the outside, from mainstream science. The question tonight is, does Ken Ham's creation model hold up? Is it viable? So let me...
Okay, let's just go ahead and start. We're going to stop. And Cy, you jump in. You tell me to stop if you want to just, you know, say something.
I think one thing we want to, that you and I would probably agree on, that we would not undertake a debate with that title.
Right.
Is it viable? Because what this is basically saying is, can Christians have a seat at the table when Jesus Christ owns the table? Mm-hmm. He owns the house. I'm not going to fight for a seat at the table. I'm going to show why the unbeliever has no right to have a seat there unless they repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And is it a viable model? And we have to think through the fact that viability, whether or not something holds up or is viable, already assumes the creation model. First and foremost. And I mean, that's it. I mean, that's how I would have approached it. If I was to walk into the debate with Bill Nye, I would have approached it in that way. You've already conceded the debate, Bill, that creation is the viable model because you're living in accordance with it and not with your model. And so viability, proof, objectivity, truth, reason, all the discussion about rationality and laws of logic, natural laws, those things do not comport with his worldview. It is inherently viable because it is true, and he's presupposing it the whole time. But I want to say something that is sort of an obvious thing. I think it should be obvious to everyone who listened, is the attempt for Nye at the very outset of the discussion, the attempt of Nye to sort of say, well, I'm going to talk, you know, mainstream science, conventional science, not like your weird science over there. Mm. You know, I'm going to speak about mainstream, like real science. And, you know, if you guys want to buy into Ken Ham's creation model, and so what's the thing there? It's to sort of get everyone over into a little itty-bitty club over here. You know, if you buy into Ken Ham's
model. Which Ken Ham does talk about that in his little opening statement, which I liked. He talked about how there's sort of, which we talk about on the show all the time, sort of renaming of terms
right.
And how there's definitely indoctrination going on. There's a reason why creationism is considered the secondary. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why we consider a debate to see if it's viable.
Right.
Because currently society is holding more to the other side.
That's right. Hey, well, and I think words to live by are what Cy just said. You know, we're not asking for a place at the table. Jesus owns the table. Let's not forget that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And let's remember something very important here. If you don't start with him, if you don't begin your life and your thinking with him and submission to him, then questions about viability are irrelevant. Questions about proof are irrelevant because there is no proof. There's no viability without him. And so, again, this on Nye's part is an attempt to sort of put Christians into a little bubble over here, this sort of strange group over here. But I have something I want to say. Again, conventional science, sort of like mainstream science, Well, this is interesting because I remember a time, really wasn't very long ago in our history, where what gave the world modern science was the Christian worldview. And all of the famous heavy hitters were what? From a Christian perspective, mm-hmm. Christian worldview. And it's what drove science in the first place. Atheism does not give rise. Atheism as a worldview does not give rise to science.
Yeah.
There is no foundation for induction, the future being like the past, for knowledge claims at all. There's no certainty. There's no dependence that natural laws will hold in the next 5 seconds. I mean, if Lawrence Krauss, famous atheist, says that physical constants came about by sheer accident, then what is Bill Nye doing, who shares his worldview, what is Bill Nye doing appealing to natural laws in the debate? Sai, you want to speak to that before I jump into the video more?
It's clear that Bill is a denier. I'm going to make as many Nye jokes as
possible. Nice. I'm just waiting for more.
Maybe he's into
nihilism.
So
yeah, nice. Good job. That's right.
Just to make a side point, I know this is more evidential, but to kind of jump off of what you were just saying, if you watched the whole debate, if you watched if you watched Ken Ham's 30-minute
Sam
thing,
I am. Sam, yeah, I am.
Now I got all these. Now we're going to Dr. Seuss and Green Ham. And, if you watch a lot of our modern scientists now, Ken Ham was showing are Christians.
That's right.
And so it just, you know, it doesn't have to go back to the beginning of science or whatever, like, yeah, you were saying. Like, look now, a lot of the world's foremost scientists are Christians, are creationists.
Yeah, and what Nye wants to do is propagate and promote the common atheistic jab that somehow if we accept God's word in the creation model, then we're not going to move forward in science. It's a lie. Mm-hmm. And it's just an attempt to sort of, again, put him into a little club over here. They're not to be listened to. Don't listen to those guys over there. It's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just do a study. If you're an atheist, do a study of history. Look at the rock star scientists of history. Look at some of the greatest advances in medicine and science. It's a lie. It's an attempt to make fuzzy the real issue. And that is this. How does Bill Nye, as an atheist who has rejected God, who believes in molecules to man evolution and fish to philosopher evolution, how does he have any basis for appealing to science at all or laws of thought or anything at all?
I thought trotting out those scientists was a bit of a my dad can beat up your dad thing.
Yeah.
As an unbeliever, I can imagine them watching that. Oh, these guys are really smart. Look at what they discovered. But yeah, they're nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you're right, Si. I think the important thing that I think you and I would want to do in a debate like this is spend every second destroying his ability to speak. Apologia Radio, guys. Be back with the bear, the girl, and Si Ted Brugenkade right here.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye.
Apologia Radio.
Okay. That sounded like a burp.
Yeah, I know.
That's what happens when you only get audio for these things.
Yeah, I know. All right, guys. So we're jumping back here with Si Ted Brugenkade. We're going to just discuss some of the debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy. Here is the more from his opening statement.
Ask you all, what would you be doing if you weren't here tonight? That's right. You'd be home watching CSI. CSI Petersburg. Is that coming? I think it's coming. And on CSI, there is no distinction made between historical science and observational science. These are constructs unique to Mr. Ham. We don't normally have these anywhere in the world except here. Natural laws that applied in the past apply now. That's why...
Excuse me?
Oh, there was so much wrong with that. It was just incredible.
You go ahead, Si. I'll let you go first.
Because he made the point later on in the debate that we don't see anything currently. Everything is looking into history because, you know, the light is coming to us. But that's a total equivocation as to what Ken was talking about. We cannot see into the past, and he's trying to say because of the speed of light, everything we see is in the past. But that's clearly not the point. And now he's appealing to laws of science, and he's saying, well, we can appeal to these laws, but he has no basis for even you know, assuming that the laws which applied in the past apply now or will apply 5 seconds from now.
Exactly. Si, let's dive hard into that, because I think a lot of people don't realize, atheists obviously don't get it because they're suppressing truth. But even Christians say, explain that more. Like, help me to understand what you mean by that. Because when he says, when Nye says here that the natural laws we see today essentially have always been, and kind of like the idea that this is just how the way things are, and it's not going to switch around. When we approach a guy like that, and what do we mean when we approach him and say, you don't have any justification for that?
The easiest way that I've come to explain is I say, look, when this person opens his mouth to speak a word, he's assuming that those words mean the same thing that they did 5 seconds ago.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he wouldn't open his mouth. Otherwise, he wouldn't speak. So he's assuming the uniformity of nature or inductive reasoning. Now, those are big words. So the best way that I found to dumb this down to my level, he's using what is called looking back at reasoning.
Uh-huh. And
that's in quotes, looking back at.
Uh-huh.
They say, how do you know that those words will mean the same things that they meant 5 seconds ago? And he says, well, they've always done that. So he's looking back at to prove the future. So my next question is, how do you know that looking back at that type of reasoning, how do you know that looking back at reasoning is valid? And what does he do? He looks back.
Mm-hmm.
He's using the very thing to, you know, in his proof to prove that type of reasoning.
That's right.
And that's what's called viciously circular reasoning. He cannot do that. So when he's saying that, you know, these laws will apply because they have applied, it's a logical fallacy. It's called begging the question.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And further, to move a little further into the issue of induction, understand this, everyone listening, that on this single foundation alone, all of atheistic thought and rejection and denial of God collapses in utter ruin on this single point alone. When Bill Nye appeals to any law of thought, when he appeals to laws of nature, what is he doing? He's assuming they're valid. He's assuming that past experience will be congruent with future experience, or the other way around. He believes that the future will be like the past. In other words, when he says these laws have always existed, essentially do exist and will exist, is what he's trying to argue for. It's what we can depend upon. Know something. That is something that a Christian owns. We have justification and certainty for the future being like the past because we have a revelational epistemology. Mm-hmm. God has spoken. And so if you ask a Christian, if you ask Cy, if you ask Joy, if you ask Luke, if you ask me, you'd say, okay, guys, why do you believe you can do science? You can't just do it and just say, I'm just doing it.
Right.
I'm living by faith. No, you know, let's get rigorous here. Let's get intellectually tough-minded. Let's do the hard task of actually thinking through our worldviews. Let's all agree that we all do science. We all do it. We all study. We all experience. We all use our senses. We all use our reason, logic. We all assume that the future will be like the past. That's not the question what we're doing. The question is, how do you do that? If you were to ask Cy, how come you believe the future will be like the past? Cy's answer is going to be coherent and cogent, and he's going to say, well, because God has spoken, and God has promised to carry the universe along to its intended destination, Hebrews chapter 1. God has given the universe a fixed order. God has told us what this universe is, who we are, who he is, and what he's going to do in the future. We know we can do science and the universe can be studied because of what God has said. Mm-hmm. Now, ask the atheist the same question. And really, the response comes down to something like, well, we all know we can do this. Well, we just do it. Well, we've studied it before. And it always was uniform in the past, but you don't get a pass like that on this show. If someone were to say what always has been in the past, we'd say that's not what we're asking you.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking you how you know the future with certainty will be like the past and that science is even possible. And the atheist has African apes in an unguided and purposeless universe. No science.
Apology Radio will be right back.
All right, so the first part of Ken Ham's opening, I don't know if it was the first 5 minutes or the first kind of 30-minute portion of his opening statement. They broke those up. Ken Ham had a moment where he said, and by the way, you cannot give a justification for induction, which all this debate depends on, science, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So uniformity in nature, future being like the past. Bill Nye can't do that. Laws of logic, all those different things. So Ken Ham did say it, And here's what's interesting. If you listen to the whole debate, at least where they were interacting that I saw, Bill Nye never even makes an attempt to move towards answering that. Not once. He won't. And the thing that was, I guess where I would sort of say to Ken as a brother, I'd say, brother, that was the winning punch. Mm-hmm. That was taking everything away from him. You let him coddle the elephant. And that's assume these things with no justification for them. Let him live as an image bearer of God, arguing against God. Take their philosophical legs off.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have done it. And notice something. In the debate, every time that Ham would bring up evidence, Nye would respond, and then Ham would refute him. And then what would Nye do? Go, oh, that's, you got it. What would Nye do? There must be some other mm-hmm. explanation.
Mm. I was honestly surprised that the debate didn't take a presuppositional direction, just because in his little 30-minute segment, Ken Ham did. He talked about that. He talked about the presupp, and then he talked about, like I said, the indoctrination, the sort of neutrality of the whole thing.
Right.
And so when, I mean, obviously, so he gave his 30-minute thing, and then Bill Nye gave his 30-minute thing, and obviously I wasn't expecting Bill Nye to really say anything about it because he had 30 minutes to just talk. I doubt he was gonna, you know.
Yeah.
But I was surprised in the later portions that it wasn't along that sort of strain.
It's where
it was weird. It was really weird.
Ken did not come after that point, which if you would notice something in a debate like that, where's the interaction taking place most? The place where Nye is most comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's where he could push you to a point where he wants you to assume neutrality and everyone else. And he wants to borrow all these concepts like reason and evidence and the ability to do science and future uniformity, laws of thought, laws of nature. He's not comfortable being pressed there. Proof? He never once addressed it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You were talking about the knockout blow, but I agree with Joy. You know, that she was surprised that it didn't go more presuppositional. But do you know who I think was the most surprised that it didn't go presuppositional? Bill Nye. Because I think at the beginning of the debate, he looked really nervous.
Hmm.
And then I thought, as the debate progressed, he looked more and more confident. But I thought, it's not confident that he's expressing, it's relief. Because during Ken Ham's 30-minute talk, guess what? He flashed his gun. You know, he said, oh, I got this gun here. I mean, you're talking about the knockout blow. He flashed him his gun, but he never used it. Or he never got the opportunity to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it would have been nice to see more just straight up cross-examination interaction as the bulk of the debate. Take out the audience questions and just let them go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, audience questions, take those out. I mean, I agree with Dr. White when he talks about audience questions. Those can sometimes be the deterrent in the whole debate. It takes you away from the point over and over and over again.
Well, and many times audience questions are actually just audience comments.
Yeah.
They want to say their own thing that they want to say.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they kind of like inflect their voice so that it sounds like a question.
The worst ones are when the people in the audience appear to be agreeing with you and get it wrong.
Yeah.
So you only have to counteract what they're saying. You have to answer the question.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go right back into the discussion. This is Nye's opening statement.
They're natural laws. That's why we embrace them. That's how we made all these discoveries that enabled all this remarkable technology.
Agreed. Because of the natural laws that are consistent, that you can assume and you can use induction, that is how we're able to make technology. Amen, amen, amen. Question, Bill Nye, how do African apes in a purposeless, unguided universe assume induction, which is the basis of all technology? Sounds like they're doing something they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be where I would have pressed them. You can hang Bill Nye right there through the whole debate, right there on that one spot. You can hang the whole entire debate, say, everything else you say after that, Nye, that's fine. But you just said this. Now justify it. You see, I could show you that creation is the viable model, and you're living according to it, and you're now in conflict with your own beliefs, your fundamental stated beliefs.
So CSI is a fictional show, but it's based absolutely on real people doing real work. When you go to a crime scene and find evidence, you have clues about the past. And you trust those clues, and you embrace them, and you move forward to convict somebody.
You see where this goes? All of life.
Mm-hmm.
All of life is wrapped up in this.
Honestly, I mean, this is totally not even the point of us doing this debate commentary. But I feel like Bill Nye could have done such a better job. He's a guy that obviously, he's a smart guy. but he has this ability to translate things to children. I feel like he just could have done a better job even.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Atheists are coming out with articles knocking Bill Nye's performance.
Yeah, I feel like he really could have, you know, there were questions I had that I felt like if anyone could answer, it would be somebody that's used to putting things into more simple terms.
Hmm.
I feel like he could have answered my questions better because I feel like I'm sort of the evolutionist's dream. I don't get crazy passionate about it. I'm not going to have like a shouting match. And that could be because I know what's true and I have a renewed heart and all that stuff.
Yeah, girl. So,
but
yeah.
But I would love to hear, like, at one point he talks about, he's talking about all this stuff and how they do testing on this and that. And I'd love to hear, like, what is that test? Instead of me just assuming, like, this test exists.
Right.
Like, I want to know stuff like that. But they just don't.
Mm. Yeah.
They just don't. They don't even give me the answers I'm looking. I'm willing to hear.
Yeah.
And it's not there.
Well, the general thing to do here in the new atheism and this kind of approach is just it's science.
Yeah.
Science.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, what do you mean? But science.
There's
science,
so many
because
different.
Because we have science.
Yeah. There's so many different sects of
what do you
science.
Mean? Yeah. What do you
like,
mean?
I don't know all that stuff.
Yeah.
I would love for you to tell me so that I can tell you you're wrong in a more eloquent way. But I would love to know that stuff. And nobody's telling me. I have sat through so many atheist debates, not even debates. I've sat down in a place and just listened to atheists talk.
Yeah.
And I still feel like.
You're a creeper?
Like they're. Yes. And the bushes outside.
Yeah. Joy the creeper. You creeping on people's conversations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
you're
right.
You're a creeper. Creeper.
Mr. Ham and his father.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to make a quick little side. Rabbit trail.
A side trail.
Side moose trail.
We have ice cream up here called Moose Tracks.
Oh, we have that down here too.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think they have a new brand of diapers called Moose Tracks, don't they?
Yeah, used diapers.
Yeah.
Wow. This just took a turn for the worse. This was just something I was thinking. You brought up that. Or maybe Sire brought up that atheists are saying that Bill Nye did a bad job. And even a lot like Dawkins are even saying like he shouldn't have ever done the debate. And I just was thinking about that this morning. It's interesting coming from Dawkins. It seems maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can correct me. But I don't think he's really done any major debates since John Lennox, since the last one he did with Lennox. And it seems to me that they're kind of a lot of the big atheists are going that way since that debate. They don't want to debate creationists.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they don't really have an answer.
Yeah. No. I think he accidentally ran into William Lane Craig like unplanned at some
in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
It was like unplanned and it threw him off big time. But
he probably would have beat William Lane Craig.
To my mind it's like, well, that's not overly helpful. No, not trying to diss a man who professes faith in Jesus and just throw him under the bus, but the truth is we're talking about real serious refutation. Mm-hmm. Of worldviews and faithfulness to Jesus, William Lane Craig just does not do it.
No.
He's helpful in some areas for Christians in the sense of like, what's the evidence for transmission text of the Bible? Where's the evidence? Let's talk about the historical stuff for the resurrection. As Christians, we could talk through those things. But when it comes to refuting atheism, William Lane Craig offers more help than he does anything else. So here we go.
Of course, have this remarkable view of a worldwide flood that somehow influenced everything that we observe in nature. A 500-foot wooden boat, 8 zookeepers for 14,000 individual animals, every land plant in the world underwater for a full year. I ask us all, is that really reasonable? You'll hear a lot about the Grand Canyon, I imagine, also, which is a remarkable...
Okay,
and what's reason?
Yeah.
You know, that's where I would jump in and say, guess what? You know what the most incredible thing in Scripture is? A man who was dead for 3 days came back to life.
Yeah.
Why don't you get on that?
Mm-hmm.
See, he doesn't have a problem with miracles. He has a problem with the God of miracles.
Yes, that's right. Yes. And again, we've got to challenge the foundations here. Don't forget what Bill Nye believes. Don't coddle the elephant. He believes in molecules demand evolution, fish to philosopher evolution. He believes when he was asked, you know, where did this come from? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just trust that one day I'll find out. So you live by faith, right? Mm-hmm. And so he talks about, you know, this doesn't seem plausible or it doesn't seem reasonable. It's like, wait a second. You honestly think that I'm going to give you a pass on that you struggle with the thought of plants underwater being able to survive, and you actually believe that inorganic matter became organic? You believe that fish became philosophers through long, purposeless, and unguided evolutionary processes of time and chance acting on matter? You believe that, and you think I honestly buy the fact that you struggle with the idea of a plant underwater. You believe fish became philosophers. You believe that there was nothing, and then there was something. You believe that information somehow, all through accidental, unpurposed and unguided processes, information ended up in a human genome. That matter produced information? You see, it's a facade. When we as Christians listen to this, we struggle through this because what do we love? We love reason. Mm-hmm. Why? Because reason reflects the very character of God. To be illogical is to not deny what's true. It's a denial of reality. It's to engage in the nature of lying. God cannot lie. We're made in his image. Of course we love truth because we're made in his image. So when an unbeliever, atheist or agnostic, whatever he calls himself here, starts dissing the idea that this doesn't seem reasonable and it doesn't seem to coordinate with the facts and those kind of things, that bothers Christians because that's what we love. Truth, facts, mm-hmm. reason, science, study, discovery. That's our worldview. He is a gadfly on civilization. He's a barnacle on the boat of the Christian worldview is all he is.
That was a very kind way of putting it.
Yes. and he's doing things and borrowing concepts that do not comport with his African apish worldview. He believes he's an African ape. And here he is, one African ape, debating with another African ape issues of origins. He's saying, as an African ape, I don't find it plausible or reasonable that plants could be underwater for so long and survive. As an African ape, I disagree. Are you kidding me? He actually believes that human beings, at some point in where we descended from, that our ancestors were fish. Mm-hmm. And I'm to believe that he really struggles through the idea of God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, limitless God, condescending, speaking to Noah, bringing his judgment against the world, and preserving a family with the animals that he created. You really struggle with that. It's not a struggle. It's rebellion.
Whole place, and it has fossils. And the fossils in the Grand Canyon are found in layers. There is not a single place in the Grand Canyon where the fossils of one type of animal cross over into the fossils of another. In other words, when there was a big flood on the earth, you would expect drowning animals to swim up to a higher level. Not any one of them did. Not a single one. If you could find evidence of that, my friends, you could change the world. Now, I just want to remind us all, there are billions of people in the world who are deeply religious, who get enriched, who have a wonderful sense of community from their religion. They worship together, they eat together, they live in their communities and enjoys other company. Billions of people. But these same people do not embrace the extraordinary view that the earth is somehow only 6,000 years old. That is unique. And here's my concern.
All right. We'll be back after the break right here on Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com, dissecting the Bill Nye the Science Guy versus Ken Ham debate with Cy 10 Brugenkate. Me, Jeff Durbin, that's Luke the Bear, Joy the Girl. Stay with us. Get the episodes at apologiaradio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, the ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps,
local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America, One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
I'm going to encourage people who are listening and have been listening to this show for a while. You know, this is not about precept. It's a fun little argument we've got over here. It's just about being under the lordship of Jesus. That's what this whole discussion's about. It's whether or not ultimately we have a philosophical justification for anything, all of life, the most simple things of life. And it's at times odd to me that, and I guess I understand why, but to see atheists like, you know, precept, it's just the presuppositional argument. It's just the presuppositional. It's like there are answers like, it's just the presuppositional. And if I could find somebody to come at the presuppositional argument, it's like, no, you just need to understand that you're arguing with God. Because that's where we're coming from. We're saying this is what God says. This is his world. This is a claim he makes on you. And, you know, you want to call it presuppositional and you want to try to create, you know, arguments against presuppositional. It's just simply arguing faithfully as a Christian. Mm-hmm. That's all we're saying. And so when we think about, like, well, how could this be done better? We're not saying, how could we finesse the argument and make it sort of like shape it better? It's like, it's to say, is this faithful? And if it's faithful, it will be consistent because it's true. That's the point. Faithfulness in your apologetic methodology will lead to a true and solid philosophy of life and strong apologetic. So when we look at something like Ken Ham debating Bill Nye, the real thing we're doing here is we're saying, well, how could we have been more faithful to Christ here? How could we have pointed out the rebel's cause on his part? How could we point out the fact that he is just rebelling against his creator? What are we doing there? We're honoring God and his word. We're there's the word, presupposing him and his word. We're saying Christ is Lord. So, guys, you want to jump into anything else before we go back into the Bill Nye, Sitch, Cy?
Go ahead.
Bill Nye, well, throughout the debate, he was calling it Ken Ham's creation.
Yeah, right. That's true.
He was trying to belittle it by, you know, trying to put it on one man. But that's the Christian creation model. And I think he was reluctant to call it that.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, here we go. More from the science guy.
What keeps the United States ahead, what makes the United States a world leader, is our technology, our new ideas, our innovations. If we continue to eschew science, eschew the process, and try to divide science into observational science and historic science, we are not going to move forward. We will not embrace natural laws. We will not make discoveries. We will not invent and innovate and stay ahead. So if you ask me if Ken Ham's...
All right. Come on, guys. Take a stab at it. Don't let Jeff do all the talking here. Let's
eschew science. I mean, that's what they want to try and paint Christians at, that we eschew science, that we don't want anything to do with science. Science is a gift from God that cannot be done without presupposing him. So we don't eschew science. We show that science is the gift of God to discover and to explore his universe.
That's right.
Cy, were you offended that he claimed America to be the most scientifically advanced country?
Nah, I'm not offended by anything.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, seriously, though, he said we can't embrace natural law.
Well, what natural law?
Yeah, exactly.
No, here's the thing, Bill. Exactly. You can't embrace natural law, period.
Right. You know, there's one thing that I want to correct some Christians on as well, is that really there are no such things as natural laws or scientific laws. That's a fallacy of reification. Okay. There are no laws that we appeal to. We appeal to God who upholds the universe. I mean, we call them in our argumentation scientific laws and natural laws, but really there aren't any. It's God who upholds the universe.
Mm. Right. And, you know, dig deeper. The atheist who is the devotee of Bill Nye listens to him, and he's like, eschew science, and we're not going to advance, and we're not going to move further, and that we won't have technology. You know, the atheist goes, rah, rah, cheering section, right? Yeah, because we want to advance and grow. And yeah, you're dumbing down society. First of all, no. Second of all, here's the question that's not being answered. Why again do we care about Stardust advancing? How come you get Bill Nye with your very fabulous bow tie? How come you get to decide that eschewing science is a bad thing? How come you get to decide we want to advance civilization? Aren't there people?
And what is advancing?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and if we really are of such low intellect, why have we not died out already?
Yeah.
If we're really less fit as far as humans go, why are we still here? Why are Christians still around? Why is the Bible still around?
Yeah.
Because it's been around for a while. And I know that a lot of people have predicted that it would be gone from 100 years of their lifetime, and we've already passed that point.
Because he's still reigning.
Did you see that poster that I put on Facebook a while back?
What's that? Mm-hmm.
It was that Voltaire quote that he said in 100 years that you'll only find Bibles in antique stores.
Yeah.
But it was Bill Nye who was saying the same thing. He says in a couple of centuries that religion will no longer exist. And I put both quotes together on one of those memes, and people have shared it over 400 times.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, because Christ is reigning and will reign and is putting all his enemies under his feet, including the atheistic opposition right here. You see, my contention is atheism, this new atheism, is in its death throes. Mm. It really is. There is not an answer coming from atheism for how we have any basis whatsoever for all the things that they want to pull on. There isn't an answer coming. Proof? Listen to the debate with Nye versus Ken Ham. He doesn't even touch it. He does not try to give any coherent justification as to how he could be doing what he's doing. He just wants to assume it. And when challenged on it, no answer.
Mm.
Now, when he can pretend neutrality and wants to get everyone to go along with him, he's very comfortable there. But you ask him to answer the most basic things of life. How do I know that science is even a relevant enterprise to pursue? Because how do I know the future will be like the past? How do I know laws of logic are coherent, that they're invariable, that they're universal? And here's the bigger question, just must be asked, and it seems so simplistic. And let me just lay it out there. When you say to me, like, eschew science, we're not going to grow, we're not going to advance, I'm like, wait a minute. I know of other African apes that have also evolved through blind and purposeless evolutionary processes to get to this point who disagree with you. They like putting bombs in backpacks and blowing up people outside of cafes and scattering their protoplasm. Why do you get to choose that we should not do that, Mr. Nye? Why are you just assuming that society is this great and wonderful thing? We should just advance it. Wait a minute. Is there some value or dignity or worth in human beings that's to be upheld that we should hold to? Where are you getting that? I know where you're getting it. You're in the image of God and you're presupposing it. But in your worldview, you're not allowed to have that. Here is an example of what we talked about weeks ago on the radio program. I said, don't coddle the elephant. Don't coddle the elephant. As much as it is tempting at times to go in for a full-on refutation of all of the different points, because believe me, Ken Ham can annihilate Bill Nye's points of contention.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Cy says. Cy, I like how you say it. We can go into that courtroom and we can win that court case on the evidence. Ken Ham can refute, and creation scientists are already refuting Bill Nye's claims.
Mm-hmm.
Already refuting him. Go search him out. CMI. Go search him out. Refutation after refutation. We can win the court case. But what I have a problem with is coddling the elephant. And that's allowing the unbeliever to escape the exposure of the image of God in him. And when Bill Nye says, this is going to stop us from advancing as civilization, it's going to prohibit, you know, us human flourishing and growth and everything else. It's like, wait. You don't get to have that. Guess that's mine. That's mine. I have image of God. I have value and dignity and worth. I have all those things with the word of God as my foundation. You don't. And so don't coddle the elephant. That's my thing.
The thing is, people with bombs and backpacks thinking they're advancing society too.
That's exactly.
Bill Nye to say that one is right and the other one's wrong. He has no basis according to his world.
Explicate on that a little bit more, because people are going to want sort of like, okay, Cy, help me out on that. What do you mean that they think they're advancing it? So how does that match the discussion, Cy? Help us expatiate on that. Help me to get that across to the listeners.
Right. Well, in order to say that you're advancing society, you have to be advancing towards a certain goal. And if you don't know the proper goal, anybody is free to make up their own goal.
Yes.
And let's say your goal happens to be that the advancing of society is to make everybody a Muslim, to kill the infidels.
Yeah.
You know, or let's say that the advancing of society is that the earth should prosper, not man, that the best thing for this world is to have the smallest number of people so that the earth can prosper. And there are tree huggers that say that. They say that man is, you know, maggots on the face of this earth. You know, who gets to determine what is the proper goal that we're advancing to? So when he says advancing, that society should advance, he's assuming his naturalistic goals. He's not assuming creation, you know, God's goals. So to say that he's begging the question once again, you cannot say that you're advancing society unless you know the goal that you're supposed to be advancing to. And if that's arbitrary, then you don't say that it's advancing, it's just changing.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting towards something better, you're just changing. I mean, having slaves and not having slaves, it's not better not to have slaves, it's just different if there is no proper goal.
Yeah, and it's changing according to your personal preference.
Right, you're arguing ice cream flavors.
That's
you're not
right.
arguing morality.
That's right, because there is no objectivity to be found. It's just the byproducts of highly evolved societies of bacteria that have evolved to this point. It's the byproduct of their personal preference, their nervous system, their brain gas, the fizzing going on, the biochemical responses happening in their brains. Hmm. It's just his personal brain fizz. But again, this needs to be pointed out, right? So he's not in charge of other stardust.
No kidding. I was just going to say, talk about abundant reproduction in bacteria. Why would bacteria ever want to evolve beyond that when they have to look for a mate?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just ludicrous. On the face of it, it's ludicrous. And that's a proper use of evidence to show the absurdity of certain of his claims, but then get back to the presupposition.
Exactly. Yeah. And can I point this out? Si, it's so cool, dude. You and I like, are on the same wavelength because one of the things that Bonson pointed out in the lecture he gave on evolution was he approached it in, I think, the biblical way, and he just showed the silly nature of evolutionary thought. But he talks about even the human sexual organs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. Bill Nye started talking about it last night.
Yeah.
My ears perked up when he brought up sex organs, and he was bringing it up. I was like, "Whoa, you're going there!" And then he just kind of passed through it. I was like, "Wait a second, you didn't even begin to answer human sexual organs." I mean, proof of God's existence. Honestly, you want something to shout at you?
I used to say when I was talking to my friends, I mean, what good is a non-productive, a non-functioning reproductive organ? But actually, don't answer. I don't want an autobiography.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I stopped saying that because I thought it wasn't very kind. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an amazing thing to just think through the discussion in the ways that he even would touch certain points about human reproductive organs, all these different things. It's like you don't have any justification whatsoever. You just want a gimme. It just happened. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. He wants constant passes. My point is don't let them borrow the capital. Don't give them the pass. You are allowed to confront so that you can call them to repentance and faith.
Yep.
Apology Radio will be right back.
So if you want to capture the thought of the last few minutes of the broadcast, when an atheist says to you that this is going to stop our progress, it's not helpful and good for us in our thinking. Okay, that should bother you as a Christian because image of God,
mm-hmm.
value and worth, meaning and dignity, beauty and truth, all those things are underneath you. You're not recognizing the fact that those things don't belong underneath him. And so you've got to come at it to not allow the unjustified borrowed assumption. You're allowed to point it out. Do you need permission? You can point it out. You're allowed to stop the unbeliever and say, wait a minute, that right there, you're not supposed to have that. That's not really yours, is it? And they're like, well, we all know. Oh, okay, so you live by faith. You just want to borrow the capital and you don't want to be confronted on it. Well, let me keep pointing it out. Listen. You're allowed to stop someone in their tracks as a Christian. You're allowed to stop Bill Nye from speaking about evidences until he can provide for you a meaningful justification for proof meaning anything, for reason meaning anything. I mean, how about this? Why wasn't Ken Ham allowed to just walk up on the stage last night and just lie through his teeth.
Why wasn't he allowed, while Bill Nye was talking, why wasn't he allowed to go, let me stop you right there, Bill?
Yeah.
He wasn't allowed to infringe on Bill's 30 minutes.
Etiquette.
Yeah.
Respect.
Mm-hmm.
Honor. Truth. Right.
Yeah.
Can't just interrupt. Say, excuse me. And it's like Bonson pointed out in his debate with Stein, it's classic moments. Classic moment. Classics Bonson. Classic Bonson. He says, what if I pull out a gun right now? And I pull out a gun. I say, all right, Mr. Stein, is there a God or isn't there? It's a classic moment. And he says, and if you say, you can't shoot me because there's moral laws and obligations. He says, well, then I win the debate because it shows your atheism doesn't work and there are moral obligations and God's the objective standard. And he says, but if you say, no, it doesn't matter. You can shoot me. It doesn't matter, blah, blah. Then I shoot you and I win the debate anyways because you're not here anymore, you know. And, I mean, that's the point. It is that simplistic. And believe me, atheists get awfully uncomfortable when you point it out.
Yep.
But you're allowed to, and you should, because this is about evangelism. It is not about winning simple arguments here and there through time. It's not about who has the best-selling book. It is about, how do I reach these people with the gospel? I don't care about all the debates I have under my belt and all the awards. It shouldn't be that. It should be what? Can I lead this person to a knowledge of Christ faithfully?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We're allowed to call Bill Nye in a debate to repentance and faith. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right, let's continue the discussion here. Bill Nye.
Creation model is viable. I say no. It is absolutely not viable. So stay with us over the next period, and you can compare my evidence to his. Thank you all very much.
Okay, that's the end of his opening statement, and when we come back, we're going to probably dig into some more. But Cy, give me the last thing he says there about evidence and viability. Just give me a final discussion or punch on his opening statement. What are you thinking as the main points Christians would need to think through regarding the debate in his opening statement?
Well, you see where he left it. His very last statement is, we're going to both give you evidence.
Yep.
You be the judge.
Yep.
I mean, that is a fundamental error of atheism. We are not the judge. God is the judge.
Okay.
That's the punch.
That's the punch. Right on. When you think through some of the things that you would want to say when you first started talking to Bill Nye, I mean, if it was Nye and Cy,
The Sinai Summit.
If it was
never going to happen.
Yeah, no. If it was Cy and Nye, how would you open the discussion after you hear that opening statement? What would you come at first and foremost? And explain that so people can say, well, this is how we think we might have done it a little bit different.
Well, the thing is, first of all, I want to really thank God for Ken Ham. I want to thank him for his ministry. I mean, I look on YouTube, close to 750,000 people have heard a presentation of the gospel.
Awesome.
I mean, that's wonderful. You know, and even that medium that people will be able to go to YouTube to watch a debate, you can see how important it is for people. You know, I would just approach it differently. I would go and I would not allow him to blaspheme God in God's courtroom. You know, I would hold his feet to the fire. People find me annoying for doing that. You know, I'm sorry. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, this man knows that God exists. I mean, everybody in this show here today, and I'm hopefully a lot of people listening, know that Bill Nye knows that God exists, according to Scripture. Was that ever pointed out in that debate last night? Not only that he's boring from Christian presuppositions, but that he actually knows that God exists, and he's suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say. I say, look, I start from a Christian worldview, and I say that if you do not start here, your worldview is absurd. And what my worldview says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. In order to have knowledge, you need to start with God. Debates presuppose knowledge. Mr. Nye, you showing up here today arguing the knowledge of your view shows that you know that God exists. When you showed up here today, you lost, just as Greg Bonson said in the Bonson-Stein debate. And I tell you, I love the way you quoted that. It sounded like I was listening to the debate. You must have listened to that thousands of times.
Guilty. Guilty.
That was great.
All right, guys, join in. Luke, Joy, what are your comments overall that you want to discuss before we get into the little interaction they had together?
Well, I mean, it's hard not to say anything different than what Cy just said. I agree completely. I will say that, excuse me, if there are, I'm sure there's going to be atheists listening to this. Aside from, you know, not being able to answer what we've been talking about, I just want to make a disclaimer too that seriously, like, look into the claims that Bill Nye was making, because they're all, they, like Jeff said, if you go to CMI, they've all been completely refuted and debunked by Christian scientists. And I thought that was just a poor execution on his end to not even have an accurate understanding of the claims he's making.
It's not a problem of evidence. People need to understand that. And I love it. I mean, you guys have said, I mean, I give, when I do apologetics one-on-one at church or whatever, I do whole things and discussions about evidence for the transmission text of Scripture. I show those things to Christians.
Yeah.
The point is that I don't have to move past that point. It's not the problem for the atheist. Yeah. He's not looking for more evidence. Like, for a classic example, example is that Ken Ham brings up in the debate a discussion about in Australia, they dug down to the earth and they found in a certain layer of rock, they found wood within a layer of rock. And he's showing how that throws off the evolutionary worldview of layers and where this would be and what's actually possible. And so he offers a full refutation of one of Nye's points. Mm-hmm. And Nye doesn't have an answer except to say what? Well, that doesn't make sense. Maybe it slid down. Like it slid. Maybe it wasn't. It slid down. There's always a, you know, it just slid down.
Well, that's what you're always going to get if you're arguing with somebody that is just purely going off of their own opinion. They're just going to create an opinion about what happened, even if it's just, oh, well, I will probably have an opinion about that one day, but not right now.
Right. And then Ken Ham comes back and he shows, well, no, it didn't slide down. It was actually in the rock. It wasn't a layer that fell on top. Yeah. It was in the rock. And Nye's response is like to raise his eyebrow, like, huh. It's like, it doesn't, it's not a matter of evidence. There's always a response it's a problem of sin. You don't need to just go there. And so Christians, listen, chew up the evidence, love on it, read the books, go to CMI, go to Answers in Genesis, study, get the resources, but understand that you need to start at the bottom.
Yeah.
Take their philosophical legs off and expose the image of God.
Apology Radio. We'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? All right, Joe, we're back. And it's all you, girl. Give us some BuzzFeed.
Okay.
What's up on BuzzFeed?
Speaking of ham.
Speaking of
proportional ham. 25 problems only meat lovers would understand.
Yeah.
Overcooked steak?
Yeah, that is a problem, I guess.
How do you order your steak?
I do mine medium.
I do medium well.
Yeah, I do medium. Ooh.
I used to do mine well done until I accidentally switched the orders with a friend of mine that had a medium rare.
Yeah.
And never gone back.
Yeah.
Medium rare is the proper way to serve meat, so technically you both order it overcooked anyway.
I've heard that the more you cook the steak, the worse cut you get, because the guy in the back is happy that this guy wants it well done. He'll pull out the worst cut.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
So, hey, I went to my anniversary, 15-year anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
What? Holla, 15 years?
Congrats.
It was the bomb diggity. And I went to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to tell you the funny story. So we're sitting there, and we get the food, and we've never done this before. We are eating the food and the steak, and we are like 15 minutes into like eating our meals.
Your anniversary meal.
Anniversary meal. And then Candy looks up at me. I look up at her. She goes, do you realize that we're not even talking to each other? I said, I just totally realized that. It was so good, I was only in my head. I was talking to the food. Like, you're so good. You're so good.
There's steaks on the bottom.
You're so good, Mr. Steak. And I was, you know, I was talking to it. So was she. It was great.
If God wanted people to be vegetarians, he wouldn't have made animals out of meat.
That's right, Joy.
That's right, Joy. Get it.
Okay. Relatedly, finding out you're dating a vegetarian is another problem. And then it says, well, maybe it's not that bad, because BuzzFeed also put a list of why it's better to date a vegetarian.
Oh.
Okay. The moment you realize you're eating imitation crab all along, that's a problem.
That's so gross. It's funky.
Getting scolded by your doctor for having ridiculously high cholesterol. Heartburn.
It's none of their business. It's none of their business.
Heartburn, or as it's more commonly known, the moments you considered becoming a vegan.
Never. I've never considered
never.
That.
Bacon. Bacon.
Loving soft bacon and getting crispy bacon.
Mm, that's a problem.
That is a problem.
Loving crispy bacon and getting soft bacon.
Yeah, it's drippy.
Vegan bacon. Ew. Drippy. Okay, while we're at it, turkey bacon.
So disgusting.
Your effort to be bacon is commendable, but no, stop trying. When your stomach has no more room for steak.
Hey,
that is a
right?
That is a real problem it if is. You've ever been to Fogo de Chão.
That's Fogo a problem that I've never experienced.
It's a problem.
Well, we went, you were with us, we went with Gary, uh-huh. Uncle Gary. Gary DeMar to Fogo de Chão, and it was Meat Fest 2014.
13.
And it was delicious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like the best time of my life. I get like Gary DeMar, my hero, and then a belly full of meat. It was the best ever. I could have died that night, been like, I'm good.
And you also got to laugh at me the whole night.
Yeah, because you're just eating like a salad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only time I've ever considered going to the bathroom and throwing up so I could come eat some more meat.
What did Gary say to Joy when he noticed she wasn't eating meat? He was like, what did he say to you?
I don't remember.
He was like, but God made him. He was like, God made him to eat.
Okay, when your coworkers suggest that new vegetarian place for lunch.
Yep, not happening.
I'm down with that. Getting dirty looks for eating the gristle and fat of a steak.
Mm. Well, I can't do that.
The struggle of loving chicken nuggets. Which, by the way, underneath that line is a picture of like a fried chicken nugget as they come, and then also a little picture of the pink slime that
right.
they make. Nuggets
yeah, I don't
out
eat
of
those.
Yeah.
Going to a barbecue restaurant on your first date, there is no suave way to eat ribs.
No, and there doesn't need to be, Joy.
No.
Society dictating that we have to eat steak with a fork and a knife.
Just pick it up, barehanded.
Get it?
Barehanded.
Whoa.
Yeah,
bear.
It's on.
Going to a cookout and being told, sorry, we only have veggie burgers, but they taste like real meat.
I'd leave.
Oh.
Okay, the thing is, first of all, these don't exist. These cookouts don't exist. When you show up to a cookout, they never say that. Okay.
It's a veggie cue.
First of all, that. Second of all, they do not taste like meat. Everyone just stop.
Yeah.
They taste good, but stop. They don't taste like meat.
No.
Anyway, not having enough napkins.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it could be a problem.
Whenever the McRib leaves for the season,
that's
now,
Luke's
I'm looking.
Favorite.
I'm looking
do love
Luke
me
right
a McRib.
Now.
Yeah, I know you.
I'm
do.
Not gonna lie.
I know you do.
I don't even care what ungodly thing is in them. I love them.
Your heart is thinking as well.
This
hey, thank you. like your heart just fighting to
hair to deck. I had a hair to deck in the McRib.
That'd be a baker's dozen for me.
The inability to join movie characters while they devour some juicy-looking meat.
I don't understand that one.
It's weird. There's a picture of Scar from The Lion King eating a zebra leg, and they're saying it looks really good. That's weird.
Yeah, that's, when I watch that, I'm like, I'm hungry. Yeah. I want some zebra. I want to jump on the back of a zebra and take a bite out of it.
Perpetual zebra.
Can you imagine me just jumping on the back of a thing
perpetual
in a spot.
Perpetual zebra.
Fighting into its hide. So delicious. Slather it up with some barbecue sauce.
Right back.
Apologia Radio, get us at ApologiaRadio.com. Go to Facebook, like the page. Interact with us through social media. Get the message out about this radio program to your friends, everyone you know. Share some past episodes, which you get at ApologiaRadio.com. You can get them, you can share them on your page. Great pictures, try to get some titles that are creative so they pop. So you guys can get this message into the culture. And here's the big point. It is about proclaiming Christ mm-hmm. as King, as Lord. He's the righteous one, the promised Messiah. He died for sinners. He was buried and rose again and is ascended. And he calls men everywhere to repent, to turn from sin to him, to put their faith in him for forgiveness and salvation, the gift of eternal life. That is what this is about. I mean, this ministry, our ministry, I and I know I can say it I can just say it with confidence that Size Ministry is not simply about just doing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about just having a radio program or having a website or just, you know, just getting under people's skin. It is about Christ. That's it. Like the whole issue of even a discussion on the Bill Nye versus Ken Ham debate is just to say, how do we better proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ and his gospel as we approach this discussion in the future? How do we approach the atheists in a way where we can actually bring the gospel into the conversation? Now, I think, and I agree with Cy, that Ham is a blessing from God.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Ham. Let me restate that. That works in more ways than one.
I immediately went there.
Yes, I know. I saw Joyce's face. Her eyes lit up. Okay, Ken Ham is a blessing from God. And Ham. He blessed me. I wonder if I could pull back from this. Okay, he blessed me because he did proclaim Christ throughout the whole thing. He did stick to the Word of God as the foundation and everything else. And I love his ministry. He's a blessing from God. I love him. I love him. And I'm so glad he did it. But we need to talk about like how in the future we can really come at the unbeliever in a way where we can communicate the gospel and expose the futility of unbelief. And that's what this is about. It's about the gospel. That's what the show's about. And you can join us in this as we pursue that. So I'm going to finish.
One thing I've really been encouraged about is how my Christian brothers and sisters on Facebook and on social media have been praising Ken Ham for sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
But they've also recognized the difficulties in the debate. And I think if you had a debate like that 5-10 years ago, people would not recognize it. Now they see, okay, he did preach the gospel, but it was not really the type of debate that you'd want to have with an unbeliever. You'd want to expose their folly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I love that many people have been inundated with messages since the debate. People are getting it. And, you know, I think that Ken will also recognize that it's probably better to have a one-on-one. And I don't know who set up the format. Maybe Bill said, I don't want a one-on-one. So maybe his hands are tied. But, you know, I think that's the type of thing we have to confront these things head on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that I've noticed the same thing, that you have a lot of believers that are realizing the futility of atheism and unbelieving worldview and just the beauty and the strength and the rigor of the biblical worldview, and they are beginning to see those things now. And that just as a result of God just blessing us with you know, men like Bonson, Van Til, these guys, and you know, ministries like yours. I mean, I think it's really blessed the Christian church, and I think it's going to, again, I think atheism is in its death throes, and it's
going
it's,
back in the closet.
That's exactly right. It absolutely is. So tell me, Cy, before we finish up the discussion with Bill Nye, where can people go to get a solid look at how we approach preaching the gospel to atheists?
That's a great question.
I wonder.
I knew. Well, right now you can download video or the film, How to Answer the Fool. And if you go to my website, proofthatgodexists.org, and if you click on the store, you can see How to Answer the Fool, and you can rent it for a few bucks, or you can download it, or you can actually purchase the DVD. And you could see me engaging people who profess Christianity, who clearly weren't, and unbelievers, and engaging them from the presuppositional extremist point. Because, I mean, I admit that I'm a presupp extremist. And you could see people become frustrated trying to defend their worldview in light of a purely presuppositional approach.
Yes. Encourage you guys all to grab that. How to Answer the Fool. Here we go.
Then as far as Noah being an extraordinary shipwright, I'm very skeptical. The shipwrights, my ancestors, the Nye family in New England, spent their whole life learning to make ships. I mean, it's very reasonable perhaps to you that Noah had superpowers and was able to build this extraordinary craft with 7 family members. But to me, that's just not reasonable.
Does anybody actually believe that he has a problem believing that someone could build a boat? Again, reminder, what does he believe about the universe and human beings? He believes that, again, inorganic matter became organic, that it developed complex machines and function, that it had information, that, again, molecules became men, fish became philosophers.
Mm-hmm.
And does anybody really buy the fact that he struggles with the idea of an all-powerful God condescending in creation.
Why was it humans and not boats? Why don't we just have like a mass race of boats right now?
That's right.
And who thinks that Noah had superpowers?
Right.
And the thing is, he had instructions from God.
Yeah, exactly.
But on the face of it, it's absurd. I don't know if you've heard of that replica ark that was built in Holland. The fellow who built it is Johan Huybers. He's actually family of mine. My cousin is married to his brother, and I've been on that ark. And he built that by himself with his son that helped on weekends in a little over a year. And that was one that was, I think, one-fifth the size. And now they finished building a full-size one that's floating on the water. And, of course, they had more men involved, but it didn't take them the 100 and whatever years that Noah had.
Well, that's incredible. But I suspect that even if evidence like that were presented to Mr. Nye, I suspect he would say, yeah, but next argument.
Yeah.
Then, by the way, the fundamental thing we disagree on, Mr. Hamm, is this nature of what you can prove to yourself. This is to say, when people make assumptions based on radiometric data, when they make assumptions about the expanding universe, when they make assumptions about the rate at which genes change in populations of bacteria in laboratory growth media, they're making assumptions based on previous experience. They're not coming out of whole cloth.
Yes.
So next time.
Yes, yes, yes. And there it goes. You need to catch it. You see, when I say constantly, give me a justification for induction, the future being like the past, you got to have it. You got to have it. What is Nye doing here? He's laying on that as bottom line. What did he call it? The fundamental difference. Hmm. And what is he resting on right there? You see, when I say, like, take his legs off, that's what I'm talking about. He says it's the fundamental part. And he talks about past experience and projecting that into future. Mm-hmm. He talks about what you can learn, what you can observe, and what is he wholly and completely dependent upon, guys? Say it. The uniformity in nature.
Yep.
And he calls that fundamental. And he is dependent upon it. And it is okay for you to stop him, say, Mr. Nye, respectfully, can I have you pause there for a second? You actually can't have that. Tell me again what you believe about the universe, that you actually don't know how it started, and that you believe that it's not purposed and guided. You believe that, and you believe that we've all evolved through blind and purposeless processes that got us to this place here today, that we're African apes in an unguided chain of events that got us to this point right here. You believe that when you die, that's it, nothing ahead of us, that that's all there is, sky above us. That's what you believe, right? Right. And you actually think that that gives me a justification for depending upon a uniform appeal to nature.
He talked about the basis of his view being assumptions. And here's the definition of an assumption: a proposition accepted without proof or evidence as the basis for some further conclusion. No proof or evidence. They have fundamental assumptions that are the basis of their worldview. And what he's revealed is that his worldview is based on blind faith.
Absolutely blind faith. Christians are chastised in today's culture for just blind faith. Now, I actually want to confront the Christian who, when they're asked to give a reason defense for their faith, they say, I just believe. Okay, I'm going to confront that. Say, no, God commands you to give a reasoned defense. You got to come at it a little stronger than that. But you see, here's the thing: we both have faith commitments. The atheist has faith commitments. The Christian has faith commitments. But see, the Christian's faith commitment is rooted in an all-knowing, sovereign, perfect God who has spoken in history. We actually have a justification for appealing to evidence, logic, science, reason, beauty, truth, goodness, all the rest. But you see, the atheist is just as full of faith commitments. Just as full of them. Mm-hmm. Only his faith commitments are blind faith commitments. Mm-hmm. When he says nature is uniform, we can pass experience, project that into the future. No, you can't. You have no warrant for making an appeal to future uniformity that induction actually holds based on past experience. No, you don't. You believe you live in an accidental universe. It is just that strong, guys. Fundamentally, he can't move from that point, but he wants to have it. Mm-hmm. Don't coddle the elephant.
You have a chance to speak. I encourage you to explain to us why we should accept your word for it that natural law changed just 4,000 years ago completely and there's no record of it. You know, there are pyramids that are old.
Ken Ham didn't say that, by the way.
Than that, there are human populations that are far older than that, with traditions that go back farther than that. And it's just not reasonable to me that everything changed 4,000 years ago.
It's not reasonable? We're supposed to expect rationality mm-hmm. as African apes? That's necessary mm-hmm. in debate to expect something that's reasonable? Mm-hmm. It's not reasonable to an African ape that such and such could occur. Mm-hmm. Really? Interesting. What is reasonable to you? Oh, that fish became philosophers. That's reasonable.
That's one question I like to ask in debate. Can anything happen?
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
unbeliever has no basis for saying that, no, only these things can happen.
That's
so
right.
if you say to him, can anything happen? He'll have to say yes, then he can have no objection to anything in Scripture.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Anything's possible.
Everything, I mean, the species, the surface of the earth, the stars in the sky, and the relationship of all the other living things on earth to humans. It's just not reasonable to me that everything changed like that.
What is he dependent upon right now? Talk about it, guys. What's he dependent upon?
His reason.
His reason, and somehow that it's like universal and yeah. unchanging, it's reasonable. And what else is he hooked on? Things can't change.
Right.
The laws hold together. We can depend upon what we observe. Mm-hmm. Guys, he doesn't have a right to those things. Mm-hmm. And it's high time Christians started pointing it out whenever it comes up. You yep. need to point it out. Now, I'm not going to get to it here because we're running out of time here, but I want to say he made a terrible, terrible blunder. We only have 2 minutes left here. But when he talked about the Bible, and it's yes. been translated into American English over 30 centuries...
By
he
the
said,
telephone method.
He talked about the telephone game. The man doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. The Bible is transmitted to us in its original languages, primarily Hebrew and Greek, right? And we translate from those texts into other languages, like, for example, English, German, and on and on and on.
Which has been done Dutch. With many books
yes.
that we accept as credible historical
And
Canadian.
It was an amazing thing. He made it sound like it's been translated, retranslated, translated from there, telephone game, on and on. Yeah. You can't depend on the text. The man doesn't have an idea of what he's talking about.
That's just not even true.
Not even true. It's completely inaccurate. And he, honestly, at that point, in my mind, made a fool of himself. Right there publicly. Because when you can stand on a stage and make such an asinine claim as that... It just demonstrates that you don't know what you're talking about. And you walked into this debate completely unprepared, and there's something else going on. He talked about, that's Old Testament, right? But don't you believe the New Testament? I don't know how you work that problem out. Well, maybe you should spend 10 minutes reading a book, Mr. Nye, and understand what Christians believe about the New Testament and the Old Testament. They are not in conflict. Jesus, by the way, affirmed the creation account written, he says, by Moses. Interesting. All right.
One thing I would have left him with is, I know you're running out of time, but he said, your world, you can't make predictions. I would have said, well, I'm going to make a prediction. If you don't repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell.
Well, that's a good way to leave the show. All right, Si, I love you, man. You know we're going to have
you guys.
We got to finish our other episodes. Okay. All right, guys. God bless you guys. ApologiaRadio.com.